Good morning.
Welcome to Soccer AM.
I'm hosting this week because Clive is suffering the consequences of a dodgy samosa on the train.
West Ham pie.
Yeah, yeah. And also a fever from being beat by the most massive club in London.
Fuck West Ham.
How are you feeling, Clive?
Fuck West Ham. Do you know what? I'm going to start this week by saying I fucking hate football. I think we just get it out there right now. We might as well just start with that. I'm done. I'm gonna leave now. Have a good show, boys.
No, you fucking stay, Clive.
You're gonna take a break like I did. just done with it.
So just a quick question for Luke before we start. How's your weekend been so far, mate?
Oh mate. Glorious. Yeah. Glorious. Not just for the Tottenham result, but the results all round, to be fair.
These good. Fucking two.
Good.
Honestly.
Fucking love it. Bob, how was yours?
No, I've really enjoyed myself, to be honest. I feel in good health. Football's been good. Love football. I've always said it.
You remember that the first half of the season, all right? You didn't see us Chelsea and Arsenal fans behaving in such mockery ways.
Yes, we did.
This guy.
Yes, we did. Every single fucking week, and now we're going to milk it.
I kind of started that as well.
Oh, dear.
Okay. No comment.
Yeah.
I think probably what better place to start than the Arsenal West Ham game. Clive, as you as the home team, do you want to talk us through it?
A bit like the Leicester game, we was a bit lacking in everything and we lost the game. So, I mean, that's unlike the Leicester game, we won that game. But I think I said last week, I hoped he started with the same lineup and then brought Mourinho on. Although Sterling's not really done much, I just thought he'd kind of give him another chance. But yeah, from what I've seen, and I've only seen the match of the day highlights because I was out yesterday and I don't really want to watch it, if I'm honest. I've got no interest in it at the moment. By the looks of it, we had a lot of chances, a lot of the ball, but by chances, I mean, we had a lot of shots, only two on target, so not many actual chances. And then a red card, which is more of a red card than the one against Bournemouth. I think they got that decision right, to be honest. I think from what I've seen on VAR, they got most things right yesterday other than the Everton penalty. So just defeatist again. But as I said last week, we're not in the title race anyway. It's done and dusted.
Imagine if you had a striker, right?
I don't think that would have made a difference. I think Alan Shearer said it, and I said it last week. It's Danny Murphy. It's not the striker that's down, it's the discipline. Because if we keep 11 men on the pitch late into the game, there's a better chance of scoring. So it's just bad discipline from Arsenal.
Young squad, isn't it?
And I think we've dropped 10 points now from games we've had players sent off, which is, funnily enough, it's about the gap, isn't it? So... yeah.
Do you know what, actually? There was one reason I was annoyed that Lewis Skelly got sent off, because I knew that this was going
to
come up.
Yeah, and I was waiting for that as well, to be fair.
I know.
Arsenal fans for you, mate.
You're still going to say, we've only been beaten this year when we've had a player sent off.
If anything, you would have drew that game. I don't know, you might have still lost it, to be fair. I mean, West Ham...
They would have lost.
And let's take a step back for a second. Did I say we would win it? I said it would give us a better chance of getting something out of the game. Is that not what I said?
I don't know.
It's just the accolades that you're going to stick with all season now. Yep. When we were
with 11 men on the pitch, we've got a better chance of scoring a goal. Yes or no? Yes or no?
Well, it depends on what players they are.
Yes or no?
No.
Nah.
Yes.
We don't have a striker.
Well, we managed to last week, didn't we? So.
Yeah, but that's not against the mighty West Ham.
Exactly. Yeah.
Again, that's the only thing. Like I'm saying, from a point of view, I'm not making injuries the excuse like somebody else. I'm making the excuse of, having 11 men on the pitch is better than having 10 men on the pitch. Facts.
A little dig there at the old injuries, Clive. It's true, mate. I said it to Tom It's true. You can blame the injuries if you want, but as I said to Tom, it's your fans are not even blaming that. Your fans are blaming the striker that you didn't sign in January, which we all well I know I mentioned, and you guys were just like, oh, you know, we'll be all right. No Ollie Watkins needed. just run at it.
And it. I feel like Clive Samosa is slowly edging towards that point right now. Anything to add to that, Clive, at all? Any rebuke towards Luke?
Again, I said it last week. I don't think it's the striker that hurts us. I think it's the discipline. Stick to it.
I'm going to ask you this every week, though, Clive.
Go on.
Well, if it's the striker, if you keep not scoring.
Well, again, it's I think the first game in how many games that we haven't scored in.
Yeah, I mean, what I will say, right, for in defence of Arsenal, we were pretty damn disciplined at the back yesterday. I don't think even if you had a striker,
why don't we get the game where Manopopoulos starts, for fuck's sake? Why has he got to change the defenders against Arsenal?
Well, because one, he came back from injury. I think, I mean, I was a little bit annoyed because actually that was one thing that did annoy me in that game was him giving away a stupid fucking free kick. I don't know if you saw that, but
near the end, yeah.
Right near the end on the edge of the box. Fucking stupid free
kick. Because Raheem Sterling stepped up. So.
Yeah, no, instantly.
Why did he take that free kick?
Yeah. I thought, as soon as I saw him take that, I thought, oh, that's why he's done it, because he knew that Sterling is definitely not going to score and they're going to give it to him. But yeah, what a performance from West Ham. It was brilliant. Wan-Bissaka was absolutely brilliant in that game. Him and Bowen on the break. They clearly had a game plan every time. I think Calafuri was getting caught up the pitch quite a lot, wasn't he? Because he was obviously, I feel like, wants him as a bit of a threat. So Wan-Bissaka was basically just getting a free run up the right. And every time that happened, they looked like they were going to score. To be fair.
And even the goal, like Gabriel points to Calafuri, like get across to Wan-Bissaka sooner.
Yeah.
And he doesn't. And then like Rice and Partey Rice is kind of tracking the run, but not doing enough to even.
He's just jogging back, isn't he?
Well, he's there. So for the goal, like he's basically on Bowen's tiptoes, but Bowen's got loads of space somehow. So he's tracked the run. He's done the hard bit, but then he's not close enough to challenge. And I don't know if that's a misunderstanding between him and Partey, because again, Partey was in and around the same area. But I don't understand how Bowen's got a free header. It's a great cross. Well worked, as you say, the counter-attack was the plan down that side. And maybe, again, that's Arteta not getting the selection right in regards to start Skelly against Wan-Bissaka, because he's going to have the pace, he's going to have the athleticism to kind of keep up with Wan-Bissaka. But yeah, it was a plan at West Ham, and they made three or four chances out of it as well. It weren't just a goal, it was three or four chances from a similar kind of position.
We should have got at least two, I would say.
Yeah, Bowen should have had both of them for sure.
His movement. See, that's what Arsenal's missing in terms of a striker. I know Bowen's not technically a striker, but his movement in that box, like if he was just a little bit, if he was a little bit closer to him, he would have got that tap in where he come off the defenders.
If he was a natural striker, maybe.
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying about Arsenal. That's what you needed, because there was an opportunity. I can't remember who it was that crossed the ball in on the left-hand side, and your player didn't even make a... Is it Marino?
It was Marino, yeah.
Like if you've got a proper striker, that's going in. Like that's a tapping for a striker there, and that's where Arsenal need the goals from. I know you mentioned that obviously you've been scoring goals, but how many more goals would you score, or how many hold up play would you have from your striker? I just feel like that's what you need to go further.
I'm glad you mentioned that Bowen's movement though, because if you actually watch the goal, his movement for the goal is so good.
Yeah.
I think
his movement is better for the one that he doesn't touch as well. His movement from when the cross comes in from the other side, when he's kind of sliding to get it, I think his movement for that was better than his movement for the goal.
I don't know, because it was so planned for the goal. Like you can tell he's just kind of striding along slowly, and then as Wan-Bissaka gets to that point, he finds the gap and runs into it. Brilliant stuff. It made me so happy. I haven't been able to be happy this year. Let me be fucking happy.
No one's taking that away from you, Bob.
You're still in a relegation battle, Bob.
No, we're fucking not, mate. You're buying Luka BFC. I don't even care about the Spurs West Ham thing anymore.
Thanks,
Mitch.
That's
all I care about.
Yeah.
What did you all think of the red card? You've already touched on it, but any objections to that?
No. There was a similar thing before, wasn't there? When we debated about it, about distance and was he through on goal? I mean, the keeper made it obvious for this one.
I think
he still missed it.
The biggest difference in this one for me is the fact that Kudos has control of the ball. Like, he's got that turn and all he has to do is have a shot. And yeah, like, as you say, look, he could well miss that shot. It's not an easy...
Not from there, it's not. But he had so much daylight, didn't he, between him and the keeper. No one was catching Kudos.
And he could take a few extra steps. He can close that angle. So I think that one is a red card, whereas the one against Bournemouth wasn't. I stand by that.
It's crazy.
So, yeah, I don't think you can have any complaints about that red card.
No. Well, that's good to hear. I Kudus is another one, I guess, that I should mention, because I know that I've been on his case the past few weeks, but he was brilliant in that game as well. Worked so hard. The whole team worked really hard. And I honestly think that was some of the difference. Like, we just looked on it. And hopefully, the thing is, which winds me up with West Ham, because we've been here before earlier on in the season, like with when we played against Newcastle, for example, and we get a great result against them. We look brilliant for that game. And then we go into the next game, and it's like against Leicester. I'm worried about that game.
They pump you.
Yeah.
Well, come on, Rude. Pump them. Pump them big.
Fuck you, Clive. Oh, God. I'm so happy. And talking about Rice for the goal, I mean, he's just doing a favour for his mate, isn't he? You know, he scored the winning goal for the only trophy he's ever going to win. So...
The thing is, if he doubled up on... If he put in a bit more pace... to catch Wan-Bissaka on the first one, instead of like just jotting back, he could have doubled up on him and it would have stopped him from that. And then Partey, I think, was in there that could have stopped Bowen. If you go back and check it, you would have seen that, but it didn't look like he was tracking as quick as what he would normally track. And then he dropped in the middle and it didn't make any difference anyway.
Mm. Are you nervous, Clive, from... like, obviously, I know you've said that you're not in the title race anymore, but...
I don't think we're going to drop out the top four, no.
No, not drop out the top four, but you're at least wanting to be top two, aren't you? Surely?
I'd like to finish top two, yeah. I mean, but it doesn't make much of a difference, really, does it?
For Arteta's job?
I don't think it does. I think Arteta's got until next year. I think
Arteta's
this year's...
Southgate, mate, isn't he? I think I can't remember who said that the other day. I think I agree with him.
Proof will be in the pudding. We're still in the Champions League, boys. So.
That's true.
I can't see anyone else taking second, to be honest. Everyone else is underperforming, and the overperformers, I can't see staying where they are, being Nottingham Forest.
Oh, he's just destroyed them.
Well, we've got Forest in midweek, so away from home.
Yeah, that's a dangerous one for you lot as well, because they're so good on the not having the ball.
Although that being said, when we had a striker at the start of the season, we beat them 3-0, so...
Funny that.
I'm so fucking happy with that game. Obviously,
was that your first win in five?
Yeah.
Fucking hell, Arsenal.
Only your second Jesus win. Christ. His first clean sheet.
Jesus.
Yeah.
It was always going to happen, though. Like, we don't like playing West Ham at home, so like you could see it coming.
I mean, your prediction last week didn't. I got to get the digs in from time to time.
Yeah, but Anything else to add? Because to be honest, it was a game of one goal and not many controversies. Sorry, I don't know why I turned into Sean Connery for a minute there. but any other thing to mention? Any questions about Arsenal or West Ham at all?
I'll take her out.
Never in a million years.
I don't agree. I'll take her out. Definitely not. But
I don't. But I'd still love to see it though.
I do think you can't keep saying building for next season. I know you're saying striker's not the issue. I still think it is. I think you should have taken the gamble in the January
transfer
window.
For third week running.
I'm going to keep saying it, Clive.
Third week running, yeah. The difference that it would have made this season in winning the title, buying someone in January, is not. I would rather wait and spend 100 million in the summer to get our top target than spend, we wouldn't. And that's the thing with Arsenal. We're not Chelsea. We're not Man City.
Clive, then.
Yeah.
Let's say you do get the striker.
Mm-hmm.
You get the 100 million striker. You get some crazy. Is it Osimhen? What his name is? He's a pretty good striker, isn't he? If you got a 100 million striker, the one that you wanted, you've been eyeing up for 2 years or whatever. You get him, and then next season you finish third.
That's when Arteta is going to be questioned.
But you're not going to blame it like his first season in the Premier League for the striker. No excuse.
It depends on who you get. Like if you buy a Premier League proven striker, then no. Like and it all depends on like this. Like you can't just say a striker is going to win us the league because like Tottenham this year, we could have a fucking ton of injuries. That striker could come in and do his ACL. Like who knows?
You can't use injuries as an excuse.
Exactly right. So. Yeah, it's all going to be dependent. But like, if we have a clean season next season and we have a striker that we've gone out and spent 100 million on and he doesn't get, say, 20 goals in the season, then the finger's going to start not pointing, but people will then start asking questions.
I know what you're saying, and I kind of did say it last week as well. But my God, I don't think you'll ever... I still think it would have been worth the gamble because I don't think you're going to have a better chance than you are this season.
Again, that's like I don't know how good City are going to be next year. There's a lot of changes happening there. Liverpool, mate, they might be a shadow of the team next season because, funny enough, Van Dijk's in his last year of contract, Salah's in his last year of contract, Trent Alexander's in his last year of contract. Callagher, their sub goalkeeper, who's come in and done a job, is in their last year of contract.
Yeah, probably for Liverpool. But no one was expecting Liverpool except me. But then Man City will turn up next season, and then you're screwed again.
But we don't know that.
Like, well, no. But you're looking at Liverpool being like, well, they're going to have like half their team gone, and there's a better chance, as Mitchell said, of winning.
Well, I'm saying I don't know the chances. I'm not saying there's a better chance, and I don't.
With 11 men, there is.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, if we don't have, yeah. 5 games with players sent off, 100%. Like if we can get that right next season, then who knows? We could be a lot better next season as well.
Yeah. Maybe. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be a funny one next season because I feel like Man City's team are probably... I feel like Arsenal will probably be in the best position again next season if they keep all of their players or their main players anyway and also bring in a striker. They'll probably be in the best position, right? Really?
I think we'll be in a better position. Like, unfortunately for us, we've got to address the striker position. And as I said previously, again, Kai Havertz has done a fantastic job. As much as he gets absolutely called out for not scoring as many goals, he still scored. As I say, I think Ollie Watkins has got now 2 more goals in him this season. And the work rate he does is, you've got to find someone that's going to match that as well.
Watkins has been out injured for a bit though, hasn't he?
He's had 1 game missing. I think he's played 2 more games than Kai Havertz. So.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine having them both.
I don't think it'd make a difference.
We are recording, aren't we? Good. It's because I didn't have the record button down there. I'm used to doing that when hosting, but Clive's in control.
Move on now, Bob, like though.
Why? I'm enjoying myself, Clive.
Move it on.
Okay. Right. So next score? Game then.
Sorry, I've forgotten.
1-0 West Ham. That was
2-1 to Villa. Brilliant. Oh, we're brilliant. Not talking about that one yet.
So we're going to talk about Spurs next, as they were next on the other 3 o'clock kickoff. So thanks, Luke, first of all, for making the relegation battle a little bit better.
You're welcome.
But yeah, how did that game go? I didn't see much of it myself.
Well, didn't watch it because it was the last week of not watching Tottenham, but I have seen the highlights and listened to some of the fans and read some comments, the usual stuff. Great performance. Other than the first 15-20 minutes where we could have been 3-0 down. But that's typical Tottenham for you. Great game. Great game. But it's Ipswich. So I know obviously people were going to be commenting and being like, oh, you know, that's where they are in the league and you should be beating them anyway. But our performance, I mean,
that's
this
where
season,
you are in the league as well.
Well, that's it. That's what I'm saying, is that where we are in the league, it's like, well, shit, you know, we've got to be, every game now is it needs to be a 3 points because we need to get our ass up that top of that league. Closer to the top of the league. I don't think we're getting in sixth, I guess. It's trying where we can go, aim for, but that's going to be a bit of a struggle because Brentford won, I think.
Yeah,
so they won as well. So again, we're going to need to win a couple more games now and hopefully they drop some points to get above them and obviously the team's above them. I was happy with it. It's good to see Jed Spence again putting another solid performance. I mean, he's got to be getting England called up at some point. But see how that goes. Go on score sheet. Good to see some players back. Madison getting some minutes again. In the end of the game, he looked sharp. I mean, it was Ipswich. I don't know how else to put. Everyone's beating them at the moment. So I think it was an expected result when we've got our players back. When you look at our squad and our team, they are the games that you feel like should be winning just because of their performance this season as well and the fact that the quality we've got in our team. I know Tom would probably disagree with me, blah, well, you know, Tottenham are not a big club anymore, blah, 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 that sort of stuff.
Anymore?
It's the expectation. Well, no, because it's going around, isn't it? Because Tottenham haven't been in a, you know, been competing in like Champions League for a while.
I don't think you've ever been a big club.
Thanks, Mitch. That's how it works.
Brennan Johnson back amongst the goals.
Yeah,
as well.
Brennan Johnson. Brennan Johnson, you know, does what he does, scores those tap-ins at back post. You could probably see all his goal reel on YouTube and it's probably the same, every single one of them. I'll take it. The obviously tactics that Angie's doing is working. Son looks sharp as hell. He did destroy them down that side. So it was good to see his sharpness is back. But a week's rest, you know, they had a week's rest. I think they've got another week's rest as well.
Midweek game and an FA Cup. And
that was it. Yeah, midweek game. Then a rest because we're not in the FA Cup. And then, yeah, it's going to be hopefully a couple more players back as well then. Like I said, didn't watch the game, so I only go after the highlights. It was, like I said, we could have conceded a few goals at the beginning, which would have changed the game around. I still think we would have beat them, even if they scored one or two. I just feel like the way that the team played, they looked sharp, they looked good, they looked fit for once instead of tired. And he did... He did change it a bit. He rested some players. And it was a bit unlucky for Tell not to get on the score sheet, but he wasn't really getting the service. And then 4-1. Bit annoyed with my prediction.
Who have you got due coming back soon?
Solanke, Richarlison, Romero, Van der Ven. Your doggy's just come back and got some minutes in. Who else is missing? Just trying to think now in the midfield side of things. I think that's it off the top of my head because a lot of them have been on the bench or... I think that they're the main ones, I'd say, at the moment because obviously Brennan's back, your doggy's back, Madison's back.
So you're happy again, basically.
I am. We've got Man City next. It'll be a tough game because they're starting to pick up form. I know they lost in the... Champions League, but that doesn't stop their Premier League form that they've had recently. They're looking sharp and it's looking good for them. But we do tend to do okay with them, but touch wood.
See, I'm looking at those midweek fixtures and thinking, I'm going to get back that 3-point gap from these games, because we've got Leicester and you've got City. So I'm thinking I might be ending up with two BFCs here.
we're at home, I think, in that game. Yeah, because we beat them at their place.
Yeah.
But it's still going to be tough regardless. It just depends what Ange does. Like, if he doesn't change it too much.
Well, he's happy Ange at the moment, isn't he?
He is. But I'm taking it as a pinch of salt just because of the teams that we've played recently.
It's annoying. It's shit when Tottenham win. It was a lot funner when you were in a relegation battle with West Ham.
No, it's not.
Three on the bounce. Fucking shit, Tottenham.
That's what Spurs do mate. Honestly, it's just it's what we do, mate.
You're only 10 points behind us there.
Oh, shit, yeah.
That is crazy.
That's the way the league's gone, though, isn't it, this season?
And
that's why I didn't count Arsenal out of the league when they were 9 points behind Liverpool, I think, at the time. Because it just a couple of wins, a couple of draws from wherever, and it just changes. It just changes its head around. Like, if we get a couple more wins and Chelsea get
a couple more losses,
and we'll be having a whole new conversation.
You reckon you'll finish above Chelsea this season?
No. We'll be lucky to get like anywhere near top six this season.
So do you think with the team, let's say those other players that you mentioned don't come back, do you think you'll be able to remain consistent with this team? Because it did look different, I will say. Like, other than the first 20 minutes, like you say, I feel like you did look a little bit different in terms of attitude and that kind of sort. Maybe not attitude, but like, I don't know, being up for it kind of thing.
Yeah, he changed it a little bit. And I noticed that from some of the fans were saying is that we started playing a bit more long, like to the wide players, but across field, because normally we would try and play it out and do some smart shit and then we end up losing it and getting caught out. Like, he was playing some long balls and it was catching them out a bit. And I feel like if he's changing it a bit like that, while also having that attacking mentality, it does change things a bit for us. And Son, and it's probably because of Son and Brendan Johnson, because of the pacey wingers. When before we, you know, Kulusevski had to go out and he's not exactly the quickest, but then he'll drop back and play it backwards. So it's a bit, and he wouldn't really get into like what Brendan Johnson does, beating that last defender to the back post, because he hasn't got that pace that Brendan Johnson brings, that little burst of acceleration. But I think to your question, with the squad as it is now, with obviously Jed Spence, your doggy's now back, Danzo's looking good, Gray has been okay, like he's not an amazing defender like Romero van de Ven, but he, with Danzo in there with his experience, Bentancur's back, Berthold's playing really well in there, and Madison's now fit. I think we've got a strongest thing. Yes, not having a striker like Solanke and Tell's come in, but Tell, I don't know much about him, so I can't tell you how good he's going to be. But yeah, with Solanke back, he's going to bring goals. He's going to bring that hold-up play. He's going to bring players in. It would be nice, if Solanke's back, I think he'd offer a bit more. And he's proven in the Premier League that he can score goals compared to Tell. So I think he would be the more missing piece out of that, the players like instead of like Richarlison coming back. Yes, Romero and Van de Ven would be great, but I feel like where we are in the league at the moment, I don't feel like we're gonna. If everyone comes back and we're like going to be amazing, and there's really hope for us to top four, I'd be like Bob. We're top four. We need it, but at the moment we're struggling. You know, with the players that we've got now, if we can continue getting results and just stay above, 10th, below 10th, going for top six, that'll be all right. It'd be a bad season, don't get me wrong, but it is what it is with what we've got. But ideally, yes, I want everyone back so we can sort of push and keep going. As Mitchell said, if we're 10 points off of Chelsea, I mean, why can't we, with a full squad? And with the lineup that we've got, well, Man City. Let's say we beat Man City. let's just say that. Yeah, we've got Man City. Well, we beat them away from home, so it's possible. Like, you can beat anyone on the day anyway. But let's say we beat Man City. We then got Bournemouth at home. again, it's going to be a tough game. We then got Fulham away, and then we've got Chelsea away. Chelsea, that's already a loss. I can already see that because that's Chelsea. And then Southampton, Wolves, Forest, Liverpool. But they're on paper with a full Tottenham squad. I can only see us losing against Chelsea and Liverpool. We should be beating Fulham, Southampton. Again, Tom's probably going to disagree with me. Forest and Wolves. So there's points there for Tottenham to creep up that league, at least try and get in top six.
If you can keep it consistent, I guess.
Exactly, but other teams around us are going to, you know, with Newcastle as well, and the other teams that are there, Man City, like if you was looking at the league now, it's going to be tough for us to get top six, but I really don't think we can get it, in all honesty. I'd love it, but I don't think we'll get it.
No, there's no way. Not this season.
No way.
But, yeah. Okay. Any advancements on Tottenham at all?
No.
It's so fucking miserable.
Yeah. And because he's not well as well. I think it makes it even better for some reason. Yeah. Sorry, Clive. Love you, buddy.
Yeah, we do love you, Clive.
But you've been too happy. Arsenal fans have been way too happy this season. You've got to come down a peg.
I don't know if we have been, if I'm honest. They're very bad referees all season, aren't they?
Oh,
so.
Yeah, here we go.
They've had to play against 12 or something.
All season long. It's tiring.
Yeah. Well, no bad decisions yesterday. Just the better team. Okay, so we're going to move on to Chelsea. So, obviously, tough game against Villa. Out of go, Mitch.
Chelsea. I'm not even going to do it. Do you know what? It's very frustrating, and I am annoyed about it, especially because it happened at the death. But there were some positives. He changed a lot of things up. So Neto played up front, and he was probably our best player. So I hope he continues to do that, because Nkunku doesn't fucking do anything. Jackson, when he's here, doesn't do anything.
Seb scored 9 goals.
Not 9 goals for a striker is not enough for me.
You've got a striker and you can't win games.
I love that Clive's been waiting for that.
We're not trying to win the Premier League at the moment, I'm afraid. We're just trying to maybe get top four, which is looking less and less likely. But yeah, Neto up front. Fernandes playing a more forward role. And then he's put Rhys James in the defensive mid next to Caicedo, and Gusto out on the right, and Palmer on the right, and it looked all right. It did work. There was a lot more chances being created. It was good counter attacking football, but it's maybe it's still this lack of confidence thing, because the second we do score, we panic, and then we sit back and invite the pressure, but. I just think the last few games we've had no shots on target to maybe one shot on target, and in this game we had 7 shots on target. So this is what I mean by the positives. There's something there with this system that he's set up, with the counter-attacking football that we were trying to achieve, and Palmer maybe having a bit of a lack of confidence would have scored
the thing that I've got in mind in regards to Chelsea setting up defensively to hit people on the counter attack. Why? You can't defend.
Well, so this was going to be another point, right? So actually the defence wasn't too bad, but the 2 goals we conceded were both mistakes. So their first goal, our back four actually stayed as a back four. They were all in line, but Fernandes is chasing a player, I can't remember who it was, and he's gone. He's kept every Villa player onside as that ball's come in, and then they've scored. And the same with their second goal. It's a mistake from the keeper. He's gone right under his armpit. So
he's only young, mate.
they're all only young, unfortunately. But it's, yeah, this is the annoying thing. It always seems to be a mistake. It's not just being outplayed, it's a mistake. But we don't help ourselves because we do tend to score first and then just panic and give up. And like I say, I did like the new system. Reece James, he looked like he struggled a little bit. He might have grown into it towards the end, but he gave the ball away quite a few times, which put us under pressure. But the back four held their own. Chalobah come off injured right at the start.
Do you also think that Reece James playing there could hurt his England chances with the emergence of Jed Spence? If he's playing in midfield, like, I know Thomas Tuchel knows Reece James and knows the quality that he can bring, but do you think, like, if he's playing, because he's not going to get into the midfield of England, do you think it's going to hurt his chances to play for England?
Who's in the midfield at the moment? So would he not play next to Declan?
Who's in the midfield? The one place we're most packed up.
No, defensive mids.
You got the United lads, who usually plays with Deck as well. There's tons of midfielders I can't think at the moment, but I don't see Reece James making it into midfield for England.
No.
Well, definitely not with his fucking injury record at the moment. This is only his third game back in a row. So it's hard to say at the moment. But Gusto is just doing such a good job at right back that he's kind of lost the favour a little bit. But Maresca obviously sees something because he's trying to fit him in somewhere. It might work out all right. It might turn out that that's a great spot for him. But he is more attack-minded, James. Always has been. So I don't know if he's going to be comfortable trying to sit down.
He's like a wish Trent Alexander-Arnold, isn't he? Like.
Wait. It's the other way around. I don't know. It's just gutting that we lost in the way that we did. And I wish we didn't panic so bloody much. Because there were some great chances created. And like I said, Palmer, five games ago, would have finished some of these chances. He had a beautiful chance near the end of the first half. It was, I think it was Caicedo, put the ball through. I don't know what he did. I don't know if he just got caught under his feet or he was waiting for the keeper to make a move. Because he did slip the keeper. I've forgotten his name now, Martinez. He did slip and I'm just thinking, oh, Palmer, you'd have chipped that over him. You'd have bent it around him. And in the end, he did nothing. And it just sort of plonked it straight towards him and lost his chance.
Doesn't turn up big games, does he, Clive?
Oh, is this even a fucking big game anymore? Like, every game.
I mean, Villa is a big game, isn't it?
They're just shit. They're about as consistent as us this season.
He ain't looking too hot right now, is he?
Ha! No, he's... he's not looking too cold right now, Bob. All right? Okay. But this is his worst run now. it was his joint worst run. Sorry, I've got a frog in my throat. It was his joint worst run against Villa with no goals or assists in four. But I do think part of that as well is everybody is underperforming, not just Palmer, everyone. Because before Jackson got injured, he was none for nine, I think it was. And Sancho looked sharp at the start when we got him, and now he's gone off the boil.
Has Palmer scored since Jackson got injured?
Well, he's got none in four. So I think there was two games with, two games without, yeah. But everyone, like I say, is underperforming. But, like I said, there were some positives. And I think with the next two games that we've got, if he keeps with his system and the players get used to it a bit more, I think there's goals there. And I think it might set us up ready for the Arsenal match because it wasn't working before. But you just, you know, defensive mistakes again. We've got two world-class second-rate fucking goalkeepers who both make mistakes. And I don't know what to do about that for the rest of the season. There's always going to be mistakes. We were outscoring teams in the first half of the season. Now we're struggling to score. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe a bit of confidence boosting against Southampton and Leicester in the next couple of weeks.
I think you was lucky not to get a penalty against Hughes in that game. The Cucurella thing. I don't know whether it's just because I hate him.
Oh, right. When he was grabbing his arm. Yeah.
He had two arms on him and he's gone down. Like
he did, but I think what done him a favour is it was such a crowded area at the time that he probably wouldn't have got there anyway. And I don't know if it was enough. He definitely was holding, but he wasn't pulling. So I don't know if it was enough. It might be a bit of Chelsea bias there.
Because he couldn't get to that ball because he was holding him. Like that. That's just fact.
Yeah, so, but they were tussling so much anyway that I think it would have been a stretch for him to get to the ball anyway.
So if it's a crowded area, then we're fine to just put two hands on someone and, you know, just make sure that they don't get anywhere.
The defender always gets the back end, doesn't they?
Bollocks. Fuck Chelsea.
Oh, I agree. Fuck Chelsea. Fucking fucked my prediction, didn't it? Jesus Christ, 89th minute. And then typical, like, then they sit back because I think there was like 7 or 8 minutes added time. And then we suddenly decide to actually, let's not try and defend a 1-0 lead. Let's try and fucking go for it. And create more chances right at the end of the game. But it's very frustrating. But like I said, compared to the last 3 or 4 weeks, like I think in this game, the 7 shots on target is more than we've had the last 4 games. So something is looking better. It's just 2 defensive mistakes.
Yeah. I do think in periods of that game, you did look like the better team. I mean, and also it's Villa. Like, they look fucking great going forward. So it's nothing too much to be ashamed about, but Maresca out.
Don't be silly. I won't say that all season, but what I will say is it is the Chelsea way. I don't want it to happen, but if results stay like this for the rest of the season, they probably will get rid of him if he falls out of the top 6.
Aren't you already overachieving from the expectations of the beginning of the season?
I think the board, Clear Lake or wherever the fuck they are, set it as Champions League football.
Really?
I think
with it as well is they probably, after the start of your season, like even if they said top 6 to him at the start of the season, after your first 12, 15 games, they probably would have gone, let's readjust that, Champions League.
Yeah, halfway point, they would have gone, yeah, here's a bit more pressure for you. And then it all capitulates. But
I don't want to get into this fucking conversation again, really, but I mean, if someone has got that much money to spend, or the I feel like the board are probably looking at that and going, I don't know how much decision making goes into what the manager has at Chelsea. Do you know, like, how the players that they bring in, how much they've got a say in it?
I think a lot of it is controlled by Clear Lake. I think that was the problem.
The only one that probably wasn't the board is probably the lad from Leicester.
Dewsbury Hall.
Yeah, I think Maresca probably would have said, like, I know him, I can trust him, I know what he's going to bring. Obviously, I don't think he's at the level for Chelsea at the moment or the Premier League, but he is young, isn't he? But other than that, I think you kind of, players turn up and he's got to deal with them.
I don't know what I mean. If they've got all this money, the board, and they want to make their decisions, they didn't do much in January, but I think, like we said last week or the week before, they are probably trying to skirt around this financial fair play stuff because we have spent a fair bit. It's just the players that we've bought in with the money we've spent a fair bit on hasn't worked so far. And not to go down the Spurs route here, but we have got injuries in the defensive middle for Fana and Badia Shield. They've both been out all season.
You can fuck right off.
I'm just saying. But hang on, bear with me. Right. So I'm not using it as an excuse, but I'm just saying because we've got all the money, you'd think like maybe they'd do something. So they did bring Chalobah back. Obviously, I'm kind of surprised they didn't bring Kepa back. As much as Kepa's a fucking mixed bag, I would say he's better than Sanchez and Jorgensen. And then maybe pull out some other loanees that we've sent out. But fucking hell, it's such a long list. I can't remember who they all are. I can't remember if we sent Mark Gui out on loan again. Where is he? He was a little striker, Barcelona prodigy. Give him a little run of games. See,
he's been playing
does.
In the conference, isn't he? Conference League.
He was earlier, but again, I don't know if we've pushed him out in January. I'll have to check. And then we brought back that David Fofana. Why have we done that? I've not seen him at all, unless that was purely for the Conference League as well. He's put Palmer in the Conference League now as well for the knockout stages. Although that's not going to fucking help anyone at the moment, is it? I don't know.
So do you think if you finish fifth at the end of the season that they would get rid of Resca?
Oh, I think they'd be fucking stupid. You never know with Chelsea. It really does depend on how the last five games look. If it's like, you know, loss, draw, loss, win, he might be in a bit of trouble.
All right.
All right.
Any advancements on Chelsea at all? I don't know why I keep saying advancements today.
I'd like some advancements up the table.
You're full of them puns, aren't you? You done it last week as well. That was the one last week. I can't even remember. I don't know. It was funny though. Right. Okay. So we're going to move into Man versus AI. Man versus AI. Clive, I'm shit at this, so I'm going to need you to direct me. Which we normally start with AI's predictions, don't we?
Yeah.
Thanks, Clive. Okay.
Yeah.
So, wait a minute. It's because me and Clive are playing against each other. Clive, I can see you in the spreadsheet. Get out. You don't trust me, do you?
No, I don't. Yeah.
is the dildo still in the spreadsheet?
It's a different spreadsheet.
So, Arsenal against West Ham. AI predicted Arsenal 3, West Ham 1, and got 0 points. Clive predicted Arsenal 2, West Ham 0. Laugh, please, everyone.
Yes.
Thank you. And got 0 points. And Bob predicted West Ham... Arsenal 2, West Ham 1, and got
fucking
0 points.
Shocking.
So,
you fucking knobhead. I told you, didn't I, Bob, last week.
Luke, and I told you that I want to play the game properly. No one saw that coming.
I did, because I was telling you to
How did you, didn't you not see it predict, coming? Bob?
I can pick everyone else's. I can't just
not winning five games in a row that you'd beat Arsenal 1-0.
I know, right? Not see it. Second in the league, yeah.
Because you last season you beat them at away. From home this season,
it doesn't matter.
You'll go for it.
Last season we had Masoya.
We don't need to talk about it anymore. Let's go for next one.
So Ipswich versus Tottenham. AI predicted Ipswich 1, Tottenham 2, and got 1 point. Luke predicted Ipswich 1, Tottenham 2, and also got 1 point. Well done, Luke.
Thank you.
You're not catching up.
Well, you guys didn't get any points.
Technically, he is.
Yeah. Okay. If we're going to talk about technicalities,
one,
fine.
Three in a row.
Right. And then last game, Villa 1, Chelsea 2 is what AI predicted. And got 0 points. And Mitchell predicted Villa 1, Chelsea 1, and also got 0 points. Laugh, everyone.
Yes. No, it was so close. 89 minutes.
It wasn't close.
I don't know if you laughed or you just fucking shot your load under the table.
Okay. So, wait, what? Okay. So, in total, then, that leaves AI with 76 points. The humans have still got a good old 20 point gap. At 56 points. And we've actually got Luke to thank for that at the moment, because the rest of us, who would have thought? That's more unpredictable than West Ham beating Arsenal this weekend. So the league table as it stands, Mitchell and Clive are still on top with 16 points. Bob is second place on 15 points. And Luke, who is catching up, now on 9 points.
He's not far still off. On double digits.
Yeah, but not far off. That's next week.
You are Southampton right now.
maybe.
Okay. So we're going to go into the predictions for next week. I have no idea what time the games are, but I think West Ham are last. So I'm going to start with Spurs against City. Luke,
what do you predict? 2-1 Tottenham.
He's gone for it.
I want to say 1-0, but I'll go with 2-1.
Excellent. This will be my chance to catch up. Mitchell, Chelsea against Southampton.
I don't know whether to go 2-0 or 2-1.
Go with one of them, please.
I'm going to go 2-0 Chelsea.
It's going to be 2-1, isn't it?
Yeah.
Clive, Forest against Arsenal.
1-1.
Ooh.
Oh.
Dear. Oh, dear.
Well. How's that for confidence?
I know, it's been knocked, isn't it? by the mighty West Ham. West Ham versus Leicester. I'm going to go West Ham 3, Leicester 1.
I was just too shocked to laugh, to be fair.
I know we got beat by them, but I mean, Leicester looks shocking at the moment, and I have confidence now. So
you are home?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Okay, well, that's it for predictions then. Obviously, we've only got to predict the one game because the weekend after is the FA Cup, so we will plan to do the podcast again next Sunday, probably, I'm guessing. One final thing from me before I check with you all if you've got anything to talk about.
Don't make me stop it.
What?
I thought he was going to say something about the game again.
Clive, I was fucking plugging the Twitter.
Alright, continue your plug.
Don't make me do it.
That's it.
which one's the zero?
Second one, I think.
Well done.
Well, I don't know. Go on Twitter, type in an O on the first one, and if it don't work, then try the second. But yeah, anything else to go through before we go?
Is Clive ready to throw up yet?
Yeah. As you
never again.
Where'd you get it from?
I don't even want to talk about it, Pop. I just want to
talk about West Ham.
But the fans want to know.
The fans don't want to know.
Where not to go for a samosa?
Yeah,
they can find out themselves.
Just like the O in London is. All right. Well, we'll leave it there then, Clive. If you want to stop recording.
Perfect. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, everyone.
What a weekend.
Fuck off. Woo.
Come on, you Spurs.
Fuck off. That'll make the samosa come up. Jesus Christ.
You can cut that mic.
No.